Would it be considered polygamy to multiply wives? That's what polygamy is multiplying wives. And, of course, we find that in the Scriptures, don't we? You see where several men of God, godly men, multiplied wives. Now, of course, just because somebody did something in the Bible doesn't mean it was right, does it? Well, sometimes when people try to justify polygamy, they say, well, they done it in the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things was done in the Bible that were sin. And there's a lot of for instance, King David, he committed adultery, didn't he? Does that mean that's okay because King David did it? No, that's not really very good reasoning. Polygamy has always been wrong. It's never been right. And it's still not right down till today. And I'm going to give you some examples of it. And let me give you some examples in the Scripture of someone that multiplied wives. And we'll go to the main one. That's, of course, King Solomon. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. We'll look at the example of him. 1 Kings chapter 11. It says in the verse 1 that King Solomon loved many strange women. Now, what does it mean, strange women? That means it's odd. No, that's not what it means. Strange women means foreign women. In other words, he married women outside his nation. Now, the reason why they were... Now, and there's occasions where they did marry women outside their nation. You had a Jewish man marry Rahab. And Ruth was a Moabitess. And you have examples where that happened. They weren't to marry... The reason why that was prohibited is the nations outside of Israel served false gods. And they weren't to marry what was said to be the daughter of a strange god. So basically, in the Old Testament, they were to marry in their own nation because those that they served the same god as them did. It would be equal today that a saved man should marry a saved woman. Or a saved woman should marry a saved man. It's the equivalent to that. And what King Solomon did, he married women. Oh, my, he had 700 wives. You talk about multiplying wives, he wrote the book on it. So he had 700 wives. I think I wrote this down, and 300 concubines. So you talk about multiplying wives, Solomon did. Now when it says, let's go ahead and look at this, 1 Kings 11. King Solomon loved many strange women. That means women from other nations that served false gods. Now that was prohibited because if they intermarried with them, then they would bring their false gods where at? They would bring their false gods into Israel and lead Israel into sin, the sin of idolatry, and guess what? That's exactly what happened. And it happened to Solomon. King Solomon loved many strange women, and together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moab, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonites, and the Hittites, all of them served idols. None of them acknowledged the God of Israel. So he married women that served false gods, which is the equivalent to someone marrying someone that's unsaved today. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods, and Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Now watch in verse 3. And they turned away his heart. That's why he said not to do it. You know, when the Lord prohibits you and puts a law down or a command down and tells you not to do something, it's not because he's trying to hold something great back from you. It's because it's wrong, but it's also because it's hurtful. So when he says not to do something, and it's because that's what's best. Solomon didn't listen to it. And it's sad. The Lord had given him a gift of wisdom. And people come from afar to hear his wisdom. But when he was old, they turned his heart away from the Lord. And I want you to notice what all he does. And it came to pass that when Solomon was old, verse 4, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord as God, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. And Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Verse 7, and Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. So he made places of false worship all over Jerusalem. I mean, you go in Jerusalem and there would be a place to this false god and a place for this false god. There would be the temple of the Lord there, but then there would be all of these false gods. How did that happen? He married all of these unsaved women from other nations. That's the idea of strange women, which would be the equal to us today, marrying someone that doesn't know the Lord. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that we are to marry in the Lord. If you're born again, you should marry someone else that's born again. And the scriptures calls that's an equal yoke. And someone marries outside the Lord, then that's called an unequal yoke. You got to remember, when you pick a wife, you're picking the mother for your children. When you're picking a husband, you're picking the father for your children. So you want to be pulling in the right direction. You want two teachers in the family. My mother taught me tremendously from the scriptures. From the time my daddy was a Baptist deacon. You ever reared by a Baptist deacon, you're in all kinds of trouble. But was a deacon in the church. But my mother, they both pulled together. See, when church time came, Mom didn't say, well, we're going to stay home tonight. There's a good show on. No, I wish she would have because I didn't want to come. But yeah, both was pulling together. See, that's an equal yoke. And what Solomon did, of course, is he married outside of that. So you want to marry in the what? Let me say one more. You want to marry in the what? You want to marry in the Lord so that you have an equal yoke and you're pulling in the same direction. Never forget that. Okay? All right. So that's as far as polygamy is concerned. You can see examples not only in Solomon, David, he multiplied wives. He did it. Abraham, he had several wives. He also did it. And Jacob, and when you look at their families, go back and read of them, they had problems in their household too over it. I mean, Abraham had problems in his. Now, you remember Hagar, he ended up sending her off. There was a feud there. And you had problems in David's household because he multiplied wives. Because that wasn't the intention of the Lord in the beginning. Now, when you want to determine what's right in marriage, and when you want to determine what a marriage is, you know where you go? You go to Genesis 2. You go to the first marriage. Who originated marriage? God did. God built the institution. The institution of marriage is the oldest teaching unit there is. The church is not the oldest teaching unit. Church has only been here since Matthew 16:18 when Jesus established it in his earthly ministry. But the oldest teaching unit is the family unit. You have a man and you have a woman, and that's why you need to be pulling together. And they were the teachers, and they trained their children. And they taught them the scriptures. You just didn't have one doing it. You had both of them doing it. And in the original family unit, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, it's a man and it's a woman. That's what you see. Now let's go to Matthew 19. I want to show you the argument that I'm going to use. So when you want to know about what marriage is, you go to Genesis 2. Because God's the one who originated marriage, you go there. To determine what a marriage is. And who is a marriage to be between? And whether or not a man should multiply wives. Or a wife multiplying men. If you want to do it the reverse order, you can have both of those, I guess. I tell you what, folks, you turn to Matthew chapter 19. When you start messing with the marriage unit, you're going to create an absolute mess. And Genesis 2 gives you what the marriage unit is. And now that that's already began to be messed with, you wait. It's hard to tell what's going to happen out here in the future. Matthew chapter 19. Now, Jesus is asked the question. Now, I'm going to use this as an illustration. In Matthew 19, Jesus is asked a question about putting away. And the question is about divorce, is what it is. Divorce was a big issue back then. Is it all the way down to the day. And Matthew chapter 19, you have the Pharisees and the scribes are coming to Jesus, and they ask him a question about marriage. And they're going to try to cause him some problems like they always did try to do. And let's go ahead and notice this. They ask him a question about what? They ask him a question about marriage. And I'm going to show you where Jesus went to give the answer. Are you still with me? They're going to ask him a question about marriage. They're going to be asking him about divorce. And then I'm going to show you where he went to answer him. You know where he went to answer him, don't you? He went to Genesis 2. That's where he went. So in answering the question about polygamy, guess where I'm going to go? Genesis 2. Because that's what my master did. When he dealt with the subject of divorce, where did he go? He went to Genesis 2. Because that was the first one. And that's where you go. You go back to the beginning to see what God did there. And then that's how you make your determination with regard to these so-called controversial issues. All right, are you ready? Let's look here in Matthew 19. The Pharisees came, verse 3, Matthew 19, 3. Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, and said unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And there were some of them that did do that. If she burnt the biscuits, all you had to do is I divorce thee and with a witness, show her this was be a bill divorcement, and she was out of there. That easy. And there was really two schools of thought. I think, let's see if I wrote them fellas' names down. There was a Rabbi Shammah. And his view of divorce was that for fornication, for adultery, was grounds for it. That was his view. That was the Shammah view, the Rabbi Shammah view of divorce. The other one was Rabbi Hillel. And his view was divorce for every cause. Like I just described, give her a bill, show her a bill of divorcement, and tell her to get out. So those were the two different views. So they come to Jesus that way. See the question? It helps you understand the question when you look at it. Pharisees, verse 3, came unto him, tempting him, and said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That would be Rabbi Hillel. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto him, have you not read that he which made at the beginning made male and female? For this cause shall a man, shall what? Shall man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, leave and cleave. And they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore there are no more two, but one flesh. Therefore what God hath put together, let no man put it asunder. Okay, now let's look down in the text, verse 7. And they said, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. And watch this now. But from the beginning. From where? The beginning. It was not so. So what the Lord did to cover this issue of divorce, He didn't take Rabbi Shammai's view, whatever his name was, or Rabbi Hillel's view. He went to Genesis 2. You look in Genesis 2, what does it say about divorce in Genesis 2? Nothing. Doesn't say a thing about it in Genesis 2. So that's why he took it back there. And the disciples understood exactly what he said, what he meant by it. Notice what it said in verse 10. His disciples said, if the case of a man be so with his wife, it is good not to marry. And he said, all men receive this saying. And he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. Now here's what, listen what they're saying, verse 12. For there are some eunuchs which are born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs, which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. So when Jesus answered the question about it, where did Jesus go again? He went to Genesis 2. You don't see anything about divorce in Genesis chapter 2. Nothing. Not one thing. Okay? Now, when you talk about polygamy, where do you go? You go to Genesis 2. So now let's go to Genesis 2, since we've talked about it all this time. Divorce is a difficult, and of course that's not what we're preaching on. I'm just using Matthew 19 and showing you that when Jesus dealt with that subject, I was just showing you he went to Genesis 2. That was the perfect. That was the where we go. Divorce is a tough issue, is it not? And it's in churches. It's everywhere. But let me ask you a question. Does Jesus forgive? I mean, does he save people that are divorced? You ever read about the woman at the well? What was it? She had five. I can't remember. About five husbands. And was living with a man when Jesus met her there, and he forgave her, and he washed her clean, and he gave her a new life. So sometimes when you talk about issues like this, oh, they don't want divorced people in their church. We want everybody to come to church and hear the gospel. The Lord can forgive, and the Lord can change, and the Lord can save lives and give you a new life, can't he? But you also have to show what's right and also have to show also what is wrong. So here in Genesis 2, here's the marriage institution. This is when it started. Who started marriage? God did, so he's the authority on it. And he established it in the beginning. Now in Genesis 2 it says in verse 18, and the Lord God said, is it not good? It is not good that a man be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brought them to Adam, to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called the living creature, that was the name thereof. Now let's move on down. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. He's seen all these animals, they had mates, and then he had no helpmate. It said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God take from man, he made he woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now verse 24 and 25 is marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. And they two shall be one. They two shall be one. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now when he established marriage, when he instituted marriage, what do you notice here in the text? Did he give him three wives? Did he give him two wives? Did he give him 700 wives and 300 concubines? No, he gave him one wife. And that's the intent. I want you to hear the intent. That's God's intent, is one man for one woman for one lifetime. That's God's original intent for marriage. Everybody got me? That's the original. That's how he set the. That's how he established it. See? When you go to Matthew 19, that's where he went to answer with regard to divorce. When you go to answer with regard to polygamy, where do we go? We go to the original. We go to the original marriage and see what it was. Of course, the big issue today isn't polygamy. I look for that to start happening. Now that you start messing with what a marriage is, then there's going to be other things that comes into being. And I would not doubt if polygamy won't be next. When you want to answer, when you want to give an answer to what a marriage is, the authority on who established marriage, who started marriage, God did. And when you want to give an answer to what a marriage is, where do you go? Genesis 2 to the first one. We go to Genesis 2 with regard to the issue of divorce. We go to Genesis 2 with regard to the issue of polygamy. And we also go to Genesis 2 with regard to homosexuality. It's the same place I go. When he started it in the beginning, this is what it was. One man, one woman, one lifetime. That's the original intent. That's how it was. Does that make folk mad? Sure does. Sure does make people mad, especially today. I've been closed-minded, racist. A what? Racist. A racist. It's a shame when you, if you make a stand for truth, to be called a racist. I mean, I never thought I'd surely see that day. Now that homosexual marriage is being accepted, it's slowly taken over, it's hard to say what would be next. I never thought I'd see it come to West Virginia or be legal in West Virginia, and we done preached on these kinds of things. But once you mess with the unit, then it's hard to say what's next. So could polygamy be next? Well, yeah, it's just up to what you say. Well, Pastor, what's caused this? Well, you have to have a standard for your life, y'all think? And you have a, we all have some, one thing, we all have a conscience, don't we? And a lot of times we say, let our conscience be our guide. That's not necessarily true, because your conscience can be seared. Your conscience can be seared. Let me use a horrible illustration to show you that. I used to drink and party a good bit before the Lord dealt with my heart. And the first time I did, oh, it was awful. It hurt my heart. But you know, I did it again. It didn't hurt nowhere near as bad as it did the first time. And I got and kept going and going till I got to the point I didn't care what anybody thought what I did. So you can't say let your conscience be your guide. It just depends on how seared that conscience is or how close you are to the Lord. When you get close to Jesus, you'll have a real tender conscience. What we have today is there's the standard for our life is the Scriptures. This is the guidebook. You got to have a standard. In the Scriptures, in the days of the judges, and I think it's listed two or three different times in Judges, it says men did what was right in their own eyes. Y'all remember that? So that means they became their own standard. So there really wasn't no standard. People just did what if they thought it was all right, that's just what they did, and you don't have no right to tell me this is right or this is wrong. I'm going to do whatever in the world that I want to do. That's where we're at. That's where this nation is at. And it's going to get worse because there's no standard. I believe, and I'm sure, that the originator of marriage was our God. I think Genesis 2 is it. I go there to show you what a marriage is. And the reason why I go there is that's exactly what my master did in Matthew 19. Any question, that's where he went. Any question, since he did it, that's where I go. That's what a marriage is. That's what a marriage is. So, polygamy, that's always been that's always been wrong. And all of those who did so were wrong in doing it, and they also had problems.